Perhaps you've had an experience where you've been outside on a nice day like this. And let's just say that something unfortunate happens. And let's just say it's a little bird. A little bird flies over and poops on you. That might be kind of unsettling and kind of, you know, make you angry for a moment. But, you know, for example, just be glad that elephants don't fly. But something like that is an isolated experience. You know, it might cause some discomfort and kind of be kind of gross, but it doesn't affect everything about your entire life. It's kind of compartmentalized into just that moment, just that experience. And so we read this morning about how Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. And there a woman appears. She comes to Jesus. It's a woman, we are told, that has been crippled, bent over, unable to straighten herself up for 18 years. We don't know of any physical reason. We don't know the cause of her condition. But she seeks out Jesus. She seeks him out because he has given her hope. Given her hope. And Jesus says to her, "You are set free." And the result of this healing then, we are told then that she is praising God. But the leader of the synagogue is indignant and protests with a public rebuke of Jesus, for Jesus had broken the Sabbath laws. And so he's a representative of the legalists of Jesus' day, where the emphasis is on the system. It's on the methods. The emphasis is on procedures. You can't do that because it's illegal. It's illegal. But the focus is on something that is not legal, something that is illegal. And the focus is not on the individual, not on the person. And that no one should suffer unnecessarily. And so there is a challenge by Jesus, where he says to them, certainly you will untie your ox, you will untie your donkey, you will lead them to water on the Sabbath. Is it not possible to untie this woman from her burden? To unbind her from her crippling condition. And he reminds them that she too is a child of Abraham. She is one of us, a child of God, one who is equal in position and standing. And Jesus issues the challenge in his day just as he issues it to us. That first and foremost, we see the person. We see the person that is standing in front of us. And so then, the people now had been experiencing the teachings and the activities and the actions of Jesus, and we are told then that the entire crowd was rejoicing in all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. Rejoicing in all that he was doing. Bringing a new understanding of who they are and who they are to live. That Jesus removes all the old bondages and they are freed from this legalism. And he brings cause for joy and celebration and praise. Joy in the certainty of God's love. A love that is poured out. A love that is on display for all people to see. We are to be this people of joy. We have to understand what this joy really is. It's not a feeling of happiness. And it's not a feeling that depends upon circumstances. Because in those cases, the results are only temporary. We are also not to think that we are passive when it comes to joy. That it is something that happens to us. That we have no control over how we feel. So often we think it's not possible to decide on our own behalf. Decide how we are to act. And how it will affect our feelings. For the source of our joy is Jesus. And for Jesus, this joy is an imperative. It's an obligation. It's who we are. And a lack of joy is the work of the flesh, he would say. Our humanness gets in the way. But our joy is a reflection of our very being and the relationship that we have with Jesus in this kingdom in which we live. I was reading about a recent medical report that came out, and it said that 4 out of 5 people suffer from back pain, which raises the question, does the 5th person actually enjoy it? For certainly there are legitimate experiences in our lives that we do feel sorrow and grief and pain, that we hurt. And such suffering is directed at a specific concern, a specific moment, a specific occurrence. But yet being a people of joy at that same time, in that same moment, we can possess yet a measure of joy. For as we just sang, the words of Paul when he writes to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Not occasionally, not periodically, not sometimes. But rejoice in the Lord always. It is that joy that encompasses us. That makes us who we are. I shared with you in the past that I'm responsible for household tasks and things like that. Many of them. I see these ads on television, and people are doing housework with a particular cleanser, a particular product. And these people are always smiling. And I don't know how much this particular product will have an impact on me. But in the course of our journey, in the course of our daily lives, we are to be this people of joy. This people who rejoice. Rejoice in all things. In all things, we rejoice. And the services that we perform, do so with joy. And when that time, those times when we feel pain and hurt and sorrow, we experience those things but still hold on to that joy. When we see the things taking place around us, we look at the ways in which we can come to the aid of the other person, that person in need. And do so with a joyful presence. For we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice.